Good evening, everybody. I'm Amelia Robinson, the Columbus Dispatch's opinion and community engagement editor. Welcome to Columbus Conversations, Women Achieving. Tonight, we are chatting with the six dynamic women being honored April 27th as YWCA's 2023 Women of Achievement. They are advocates for all who pave the way for others. This discussion is part of the Dispatch's commitment to serving Columbus, Central Ohio, and the rest of the state. As always, during these talks, you are invited to join in by submitting questions. I'm going to try to get to as many of those questions as I can. You can also support local journalism like this by subscribing to the Dispatch at dispatch.com/subscribe now. Now for those dynamic ladies. We have Judge Laurel Beatty Blunt of the 10th District Court of Appeal, Marilyn Brown, who is CEO of Marilyn Brown Consulting, Chris Kozat, who is president of Alternative Auto Care. We have attorney and NBC anchor Colleen Marshall, Dr. Patrice Palmer, CEO of Chosen for Change, and Betty Stahl, who is an independent artist and curator. So Betty, I think we're gonna kick you up for the first question, not kick you out, but kick you up. What does it mean for you to be selected as a woman of achievement?
It's rewarding. It's just incredible to know that you're being recognized for a lifetime of working in the community, with a commitment to serve youth, and of course my main objective is art, and so I'm just thrilled to be among all of those women who have come before me and those who have been inducted into the YMCA Women of Achievement.
Does anybody else want to take that one? How about you, Chris?
I will tell you that it is an honor to be just with this group of women. I'm really honored to be included with women who have made such a difference in the community in so many different ways. This class of women represents the legal, the retail, the art community, activist community, and just to be included among them for me is personally an honor, as well as to be in the Academy of Women who have come before all of us.
I would agree, Colleen. I feel the same way. This class seems to be such a unique group of women. And I know we come after so many classes of unique women, but this class seems to be very unique because we have so many very interesting, amazing women, and I'm so thrilled to be among them. I feel like it's such an honor to be among this group of women. It's such a different group than I've seen before, and I'm so thankful that this is the year that I've been selected. I think it's just wonderful. So thank you to the YWCA for this honor.
I would agree. And I would add to that, that I am particularly excited to be representing two communities of women that have not always been represented in Women of Achievement. That would be the women in non-traditional jobs area. As a woman in the automotive industry, there are not a lot of us working in the automotive field, and also as an out lesbian. It speaks to me to the respect that the Y has for the true diversity of our community. And it's an honor, and I appreciate it a lot.
Were you guys surprised to get this honor? Did you know it was coming? Or
I was just going to add that I'm honored to be selected amongst these phenomenal women, and not just only this class, but all the phenomenal women. Because I've done research on women of achievement and looked at all of these women that have come before me and the strides and the contributions that they've made to society that enhance the quality of people's lives. I'm honored. I'm humbled. I'm amazed. And like Chris, I represent a population that was not oftentimes recognized for the contributions we make to society, due to some poor choices and decisions in life. So I represent the criminal justice field, the women that are men that have been addicted to substances, or people that have mental health, undiagnosed mental health, and have that stigma about mental health or about criminal justice involvement, and being able to be honored amongst these women having those challenges and barriers in life, but also being able to overcome them and show people that we do have, we can make contributions that enhances all of our lives because our voices are heard even in this arena. So again, I'm honored to be amongst you ladies. And again, just to be recognized from YWCA.
Come on, Laurel.
I find this award affirming because for me, it means that I'm on the right track, particularly with this class. You have Marilyn in her consulting work and in her work as a commissioner, and Colleen have done very high level policy work. And then you have people like Betty and Chris and Patrice that are, if you will, you know, boots on the ground. They are the people who are sitting with people and doing the work every day. So to get this award, to be among this class, to be among the other women in the academy, tells me I'm on the right track to reaching my goals to do what I want to do and make my community better.
I don't know if we heard from everybody. Did somebody not say anything? Or did we get everybody on that? I think we got everybody on that question. So obviously we talk about how dynamic you guys are. You're from different walks of life, different positions and all that sort of thing. And Columbus is definitely a growing community right now. What role would you like to see women like yourselves and women, you know, who are, you know, still finding their way play in the future of Columbus?
I will say that they should play any role they want to do. And nothing should stand between them and their success. And I think that's one of the messages of Women of Achievement is every woman can achieve. And, you know, we need to support each other. We need to support other women. We need to support young women coming up so that they can have the kinds of success and wonderful careers and lives that we've had the opportunity to have.
I agree. I think it's incredibly important that women support other women doing what they want to do. And we shouldn't make assumptions what people want to do. We should find out what people want to do and support them to be whatever they want to be and support that, whatever it is. And any woman that doesn't support another woman, I think, is just an awful thing. I think we need to support one another doing whatever we want to do.
You know, I would add to that, Marilyn, that there was a time, I'm old enough to remember, some of us are, that, you know, there was this belief that if there's a table, there's room for one woman at the table.
Oh, I know.
And it put women in a very competitive environment and needlessly. But I will add that just last week, I happened to do a story of what they call the Ladies Gallery at the State House. And it I think that's a misnomer. I think they should call it the Women's Gallery because it sounds like women were sitting around having tea during the suffragist movement. And as I was reading some of the bios of the women down there, it was remarkable that the right to vote was passed in 1920. The first election, six women were elected, four to the House, two to the Senate. Mm. And for 100 years leading up to that, there were women fighting for criminal reform, for social justice, for taking care of homeless children, fighting for the right to vote, you know, fighting through the Civil War, being on the home front and keeping things going during the Civil War. So when you think about it, women have always been leaders in this community. We just weren't part of history, not the written history. We were there. We were doing the work. And I agree with Chris. We just have to let women do what they do naturally, which is help lead and help shape the future of this city.
I would encourage younger women to consider history. Because when you look at history, as Colleen stated, you know, women didn't even get the right to vote until 1920. And then even then, women of color were often still excluded from that right. And but if you look back at history, the resilience of women, their persistence in fighting for their rights has led to some change. And when you look back, even if there have been some steps backwards, there are still two steps forward. And also, I hope that younger women look at our class and understand the fights that women have had in order to assert our rights, but also to not look at that as the cup half empty, because you can look at that as the cup half full and appreciate the shoulders upon which you stand and let that encourage you to create an even better world than what you grew up in.
Absolutely, Laurel. And I really appreciate you saying that. It is, I feel like I have a lot of privilege, both in being an entrepreneur and owning my own business for 40 years and having the privilege of being completely out in every aspect of my life. But I also think that with privilege comes a responsibility to reach out to people, women in this case, who have not had access to that privilege, and help remove those barriers and help them step up and reach their full potential.
Chris, I think you're right, because I too, being a minority, being one of very few Jewish members of the community, have had the ability to be the only woman in the room, being the only Jewish woman in many rooms. And it's been a challenge and an opportunity to teach and to tell people what you can do. And it's been sometimes a difficult road, but it's also very rewarding at the same time. So when you talk about teaching and helping younger women, I think we need to talk about all of the barriers that we can help remove for younger women so they have the opportunities that we may have helped to bridge and allow younger women to be able to take those roles after us.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to add that.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Okay. I just want to add that, you know, first of all, everything that everyone has said is amazing. And I think that for women, for us, giving people a different lens to view us from as women and the empowerment that we stand for, because I stand on your shoulders. I stood on the shoulders of women that came before me. All of our ancestors, when Colleen talked about history, it doesn't matter black, white, you know, up, down, it doesn't matter. It's a woman who fought for the right to do something. And so we stand on the shoulders, and those shoulders are broad. And our contributions to society makes those shoulders broader every day. And so to encourage our young people to get more involved, you know, to get in that political arena, to be a voice that is reckoned with, that will not back down, but also even our seasoned women to step up and mentor those younger women. Because some of us, if we be honest, we've had some blows that have knocked us down. I've had some barriers in my life, some things I've had to overcome, some challenges in those rooms that literally, you know, could have took me out if I didn't have strong people in my life. Women like Marilyn Brown, who encouraged me at a time that I wanted to give up because of some poor choices and decisions I made in my life. But I had other women that were my village. I had a set of women, not just my family, but women that are political leaders or teachers or entrepreneurs that encouraged me to not give up, that your voice matters and that you have you're a part of the puzzle that puts together this tapestry of love and support amongst women. because we hold it together, and that's how we were created and designed. So, you know, I just want to encourage not only our young women to get involved, but I want to encourage our older women and our seasoned women to step up and utilize your experience with racism and microaggressions and, you know, days that you felt uncomfortable being the only one in a room and not really heard, that you share that story, that pain, that struggle, so that they don't have to encounter it in the way in which we did.
So you kind of answered the question I was going to ask you anyhow about mentorship. Like, what role have mentors played in your life, and how are you guys mentors to other women?
I'm going to be a big sister, and I'm really excited about that. But I have mentored other women along the way and always taken the opportunity to talk to other women and help them along the way. Younger women, sometimes older women who haven't had the opportunities that I have had. And I know I've had a lot of opportunities come my way, and some women have not. And I've taken that opportunity to help mentor others, to show them and to listen. And I think listening is really important, to listen to what their concerns are and to then respond in like to help them make better choices, to make choices that allow them to be successful. And I think that's really important.
You know, I've tried to mentor reporters here at the station. In fact, I just took one to lunch last weekend to talk about, you know, career opportunities and how she's doing, male and female. But I also think it's important for me to still be open to learning from other women, from other women who might have had experiences that I have not had. You know, I think we've all been through some very similar things, but we also have had very different paths to get where we are today and to be sharing this stage together. I mean, I look at somebody like Betty, who I didn't meet before this, and I know I could learn things from her. I know that Betty has, you know, made a mark in the art community when that wasn't always easy for women to do. And I mean, I will turn to someone like her and say, you know, what do you have going on that maybe I can learn from? Because I think we need to be open to that.
Well, I'm proud to say that I have, thanks, Colleen, that was very kind of you. I have mentored perhaps hundreds of youth during my stay in recreation and parks, and also as a curator when I'm working at the King Arts Complex. I'm reminded of all the young people that were junior docents. The first in the city of Columbus. And these young people were so eager to learn about art, but it, not only art, but it was lifting their self-esteem, giving them guidance, making them sure of themselves that they could maneuver in this life. And I have one person that I'm very proud of, Jessica Bird, who was a docent from middle school and through high school. And now she's a national figure. You know, she was listed as the Time Magazine 100 young people to watch. And so it's rewarding when young people come up to me and say, Ms. Stoll, you know, I didn't like you. I didn't remember what you were what you were telling me. I didn't understand. But now I do. Now I do, because I'm an adult and I have a family. And all of these things that you were telling me, I listened, and it's very rewarding to me. And I'm using them to pass on to my children.
Amelia, I have been mentored, and I mentor. I mentor would know. okay. I don't know if you can mentor when there are glasses of wine involved, but okay. But I would say, Amelia, too, that my mentors have not always looked like me, particularly in a male-dominated profession. You can't always find someone who looks like you. And so I do think that people should be open to being mentored by people who are different than them. Mm-hmm. But I would also say that I have been mentored, and I mentor in the sense that people have mentioned my names in rooms where I wasn't even there. If they saw an opportunity that they thought that I would be good for mentioning my name, and I try and do the same for women who are a little bit younger than me, and then ask them, the only thing I ask in return is that they find someone that they can do that to. So that way it keeps rolling.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I look at mentoring as a two-way street. You know, I have been teaching at Columbus State for over 20 years. And so I have a lot of experience with kids, some women, mostly men in the automotive department, but they keep me fresh. They keep me energized. They keep me thinking as much as I try to push them and guide them. So I get just as much out of mentoring young people, and maybe even more than they get out of me being their mentor. I think it's so important that we have those cross-generational, cross-cultural dialogues. It enriches everybody involved.
So I think this is my favorite question. Can you give to shout out some friends? You guys are obviously the Women of Achievement for this year. Who else are Women of Achievement who are hidden and don't get as much attention? You can say me, Laurel, if you want to.
I would say Victoria Troy is someone that comes to mind. She's behind the scenes, but does a lot of empowerment and encouragement to women. Cheryl Sullivan Brooks is another person that definitely comes to mind because she just advocates for change. I would say Annette Dominguez with the Ohio Department of Correction and some of the work that she's done through Tapestry when she was at ORW. And then Ronnie Burke Trisdale, the deputy director at Ohio Department of Correction, because she always looks for those opportunities to not only empower women, but to help mentor them and to open as many doors as she can for not only staff or people that have been incarcerated that are now home. So those are some of the people. And I cannot forget Kirsten Palmore, who's been my mentor for the last 12 years. Somebody that really believes in people going beyond where they are when you presently meet them, learning their goals, and then helping them achieve those goals. So those are just a few people that come to my mind outside of the wonderful women that is on this video today.
Well, I
know honestly, Amelia, my knee-jerk reaction to your question was teachers. And that is spoken like a true parent of small children during COVID. I think that we ask so much of teachers. They are teachers, they are social workers, they're stand-in parents. And that experience during COVID just gave me I always admired the teaching profession, but it made me admire them as just the unsung heroes of our community that much more.
That's funny you say that, because I was going to say nurses, and I have a lot of experience with nurses because we have a daughter with disability who's often in the hospital, and the nursing staff are the most unbelievable people, and mostly women. And they are just unsung heroes that I could imagine. So to me, they are women of achievement beyond belief.
I was also going to say teachers, and I would just like to point out that Laurel Beatty Blunt is a copycat. Because she doesn't want to wear red.
I know she is. My mind. She absolutely is.
But I wanted to say teachers, both of my sisters are retired teachers now. Both of them were special ed teachers, which is a set of challenges in itself. My best friend is a retired educator. And I agree with what Laurel said, that more now more than ever, not just because of COVID, but with what some of the challenges.
They're under attack.
They're under attack. And books are being banned, and they're having to deal with parents who have social issues that they're trying to push into the classroom. And I know some young educators who are saying, I don't know if I can do this anymore. And that just breaks my heart, because we all know that there was at least one teacher in our lives who might have changed our lives, put us on the path that we're on today. And I really think that teachers need our gratitude and not our criticism.
Can I add something real quick, Amelia, that I really like about this class of Women of Achievement? And it goes, the reason why I thought of it was because I think when you asked your last question, we gave some answers that some might not have expected us to give. But I think that for a long time, Women of Achievement was seen as an award that you got if you were in the C-suite. You know, a CEO of something, or an award, quite frankly, that you got if you married well and you were willing to spend money. and I know that I don't fit into either of those categories. And so I appreciate that about my class. I think that when you look at this class, it makes Women of Achievement seem attainable.
And you know, seriously, that brings me to my next question. I think you guys should answer.
I got to jump in here and answer that.
You gonna jump in there first? Okay, jump in.
Yeah, we have a theme going here, and I want to say moms.
Moms. Okay.
And I don't just mean bio moms. I mean foster moms, single moms, step moms, chosen moms. But you know, the people who played that mom role in our lives were our first mentors.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And they really don't get acknowledged very often. And, you know, some of us had great moms and some of us maybe didn't have such great moms. But we maybe had someone else. Maybe it was a neighbor who filled that role for you, or a grandmother or an aunt. But that mother role, whether biological or otherwise, is massive.
And you know what, Chris? I bet Patrice would agree with me on this, that you have a completely different outlook on that when you work with a population of people who did not have good moms or dads in some instances.
Yep.
That's amazing you say that, because I was just thinking that. Like, I believe Colleen now, you can read people's minds. Everybody didn't have a great mom or dad or an upbringing or a household or a grandmother that poured into them. So people became that village. You know, there's an African proverb that says it takes a village to raise a child. But there's another one that also says when a child feels abandoned and unnurtured, will burn the village down in order to feel its warmth. Wow. That's a powerful statement.
Oh, yes.
Powerful, right? So some people don't have that golden path to something like Women of Achievement. And honestly, I struggled with it when I got the phone call, because I kept saying, get out of here. And the lady said, I will not get out. And I was like, what? And then I done research about Women of Achievement. I kept thinking, whoa, I am not going to be in this class. I don't feel worthy to be here. But when I think about the essence of fighting for women's rights, racism, disparity, poverty, criminal justice, and reform, I do belong here, because
you
those are things
belong
I fight for.
Here.
Those are things I fight for every day, whether I'm ever acknowledged for it or not. Women of Achievement, and especially this class, has taught me so much about my own self and my own perception about myself, because I see these phenomenal women and hear portions of their story. But even though our stories may be different, our tenacity and determination to empower women is the same. It's about lifting my sister up, whether we're blood or not. It's about holding her hand when she needs somebody. It's about passing off a hug or being there to hold a box of tissues and not say anything. And that's something I feel with this class and with becoming a part of Women of Achievement. It's not some other, accolade or some other award on the wall, but this one has a meaning to me deeper than I thought it would. And it's because of these five women that are a part of this. And so thank you for saying that, Laurel, because I was just thinking that, man, what about people like me that did not have such a good foundation? But yet here I am,
once again,
recognized as a Woman of Achievement 2023, right? So.
Before we move on, I would like to just say that there are three people that come to mind about hidden women of achievements. Susan Bradford at the Lincoln Theater, who I think is doing an incredible job in working with young people, bringing them along in incubation programs that she has, and training them, continuing with the African tradition and teaching African dance. There's Shelby Toon, who is an incredible young lady who has a lot of knowledge about the Columbus community from her grandfather and all of those who have been in her life and have been in working with city policy and working with the just the city and I'm thinking of her grandfather, Rose Burrell, who was on city council, and her father Tony Rose Burrell, who is an active person in the community. And then there's Lynn Grimes, who worked at the King Arts Complex. These are young people. These are young people that are carrying on the tradition that we taught them. They certainly are people that I mentored, and I'm just so thrilled to know that at one point in their lives, they're women of achievement now, without getting an award. So I'm hoping that sometime they will too receive an award.
Kind of going back a little bit to what Patrice said earlier, people admire you for this award, but what don't people know about people who are women of achievement, women like you? What do you want people to know about you?
Can you say that again? I'm sorry.
What do you wish people knew about you? You think about Women of Achievement, you think of this lady who has it all together and she can rock any room and she orders the best wine at the restaurant and she knows how to speak Spanish and Italian and everything else. But what do you want people to know about women who achieve?
Can I say something, Patrice?
In Spanish?
Go ahead. Oh, you want to say in Spanish? No, go ahead.
No, everybody got something. You know what I mean? Everybody has something. And I think a lot of times when you get awards like these or you get a certain job or something, for some reason, people think you no longer put your pants on one leg at a time. And that is further from the truth.
I think what I would want them to know about us, especially this class, as I look at us, is this is such a great honor. We're being called Women of Achievement. I feel like we're women who aren't done yet.
Yes.
That there's always more to do. There's always a
always
to take up a cause that you believe in. Even if it's supporting family members or whatever you're doing, I want them to know that we're not done yet. And the women who I'm lucky enough to be with on this dais are women who are going to still go on, I think, and do great things.
Colleen, did you see I put on my red glasses?
I did. I saw that. And I was thinking to myself, she's just trying to take credit for red again.
I was like, she called me out. So now I got to claim red first.
I was going to wear red today and I forgot.
What I would say, Amelia, what I want people to know about me or about being selected for Women of Achievement is that I'm a fighter, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm a person that that embraces the good, the bad, the ugly, my past, my present, and my future. I'm a person of dignity, value, and worth because I accept who I am, the total me. What I want people to know about me is that I don't quit. I get knocked down sometimes. Sometimes I lose, but I get back up. I bounce back up and I fight more. And that I fight for the rights of people, of humanity. What I want them to remember about me is that no matter what award or recognition, it's about the work for humanity. It's about enhancing the quality of someone else's life. It's not about Patrice. It's about my assignment from my higher power, whom I choose to call God, and doing exactly what he's given me to do. And that is to be a repairer of the breach, to help someone in need without judgment, without wanting something back, but just being who I am and being authentic as I work with people in our community, whether it's legislation, whether it's families, whether it's addiction, whether it's criminal justice, but being willing to be there to hear the hearts of people and then take those hearts to legislation and bring about systematic change.
I'm going to steal all of that for my speech.
I was going to say, one of the things that I think is so important is that we all found and have embraced the fire in our bellies. You know, we know what drives us and what makes us passionate. I talk about the justice gene a lot, and that I can't, when I see something that is unjust, I cannot leave it alone. I can't. And I've embraced that and learned how to use that to reach across divides and gaps and voids in our society to try and bring other people, but women in particular, along. And that's the fire in my belly. That's what drives me.
Well, we are over time, so but I'm going to ask you one final question. And, you know, keep it short if you have to. We're like literally over time. But like kind of what inspires you and gives you hope for women in Columbus?
Us and women like us, because there's so many of us and we all have so much to give. And, you know, you talk about what drives us and it's the work. And women know how to do the work and we get it done. And there's so many women who do the work day in and day out. And we are the ones that get it done. And there's no doubt about it. There's a future in Columbus for women who get the work done.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And I'll keep my answer brief. This is not a group to keep their answers brief, but I will. I'll just say I'm inspired because I am by far in this business, not only the oldest woman in this building, the oldest woman on the air in Ohio.
Wow.
As an editor. And I am inspired every day by the young women I work with, because I see them being passionate about journalism, passionate about their families, passionate about this community. And I think that's what we all need in the people we surround ourselves with. The end.
I'm encouraged by a lot of the things that millennial and Gen Z women are demanding. You know, whether it's the delivery system that got really started because of millennials, all the way to normalizing men taking paternity leave. I think that the world that my son and my daughter will live in will look very different than the one we're in now. And so I am very encouraged and happy.
I would say what inspires me is that I feel a genuine sisterhood amongst women. Here. And I'm inspired that we all can come together and may have differences or different opinions or different walks in life, but we're willing to come together to have that meaningful conversation that has the potential to bring about change. And we're not just talking, we're making changes. We're improving all types of systems, and we're improving communication, education, opening doors for women to soar in any field that they want to. For Ohio, for Columbus, I just see a sisterhood willing to open the door for other sisters, not because you come from certain families or certain sides of the track or you got everything together, but because you're a woman and needs my support and my help. And that's how I feel and see it.
And I think that Columbus, you know, as a big city in a major metropolitan area, it still feels like a small town. Mm-hmm. There is kindness and respect just imbued in our community. We truly do embrace the diversity of communities that live in this city. And that doesn't always happen, especially in big cities. And it's unique and it's special. And it's women are a big piece of that, but it's the whole city.
I'm inspired about young people wanting to know about their heritage and their culture. And they are delivering in their art, particularly working together. You know, oftentimes young people sort of work in a vacuum. And I'm inspired that there are a group of young people who I respect and knowing that they respect their elders. We talked about this before about how much it's important for them to know whose shoulders they stand on. And I think that they're beginning to realize this. And I'm just inspired that I have been able to give of myself, because I've given with a passion, with my teaching and my love for young people. And certainly I've proven that working over 7 decades in the arts and volunteering my services to the community, because I just have a lot of hope that things are going to change, because they are getting involved. And that's what we need, is for young people to get involved. And I believe that they are.
Well, thank you so much. Those answers were awesome. You all win the prize for best answer. I want to thank you all. Thank, of course, Laurel and Marilyn and Chris and Colleen and Patrice and Betty. Also want to thank Patrick, who is behind the scenes working the different angles and all that stuff. Want to say that you can support these lovely ladies at the Women of Achievement Luncheon, which is April 27th. You can still get tickets. You can sit, I don't know if you can sit in the front row anymore, but you can get in the door, so that's important. You can also support local journalism like this by subscribing to the Columbus Dispatch. Have a fantastic evening, and thank you for watching.
Night.
Thanks a lot. This was a lot of fun. You guys are great.